But you're going to get a little bit of my heartbeat this morning, if it's all right, because on Wednesday, when Derek spoke to me, I was just in the car and I was having a bit of a think, and I was just, what is it over this period of your conference weekend? What is it that I want to share with you? So I did a little bit of Googling. It's always good in my line of work to do a bit of due diligence. That's very, very important. And it says this about your conference. Valley Conference exists to empower Christians everywhere to reach their God-given potential. Wherever you are today and wherever your ministry lies, at home, in the workplace, in church, or maybe as a gifted evangelist, we want to refresh you, equip you, empower you, and build you up into that calling. So hopefully that's where we all are this morning. After 2 days of conference, and this morning, I'm reading that, and I see there's something that's in the heart of your leaders, in the heart of this church, that wants to get you right slap bang in the middle of your God-given calling. So I thought I'd talk a little bit about my God-given calling this morning. And my day job, we run a group of organizations called Spacious Place, which comes from this scripture. And I did do some media, but I did it, so it's not worked. So it's nothing to do with your technical guys. So if you've got your pad, pen, Bible, you can be as creative as you like and imagine the slides that I would have put up there, because I am the most creative man on earth. It would have been absolutely brilliant. Look at that. Oh, they're disappointing now. You're disappointed. I was going to big them up so they were the best things in sliced bread. So we're going to talk about this morning creating a spacious place. Well done, guys at the back. Sorry for any hassle that's made that really hard work to get up there. But in Psalms 18, verse 19, we get to these two lines, and it says this: He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. God brought me out into a spacious place. God rescued me because he delighted in me. And I love this little bit of a prelogue to this verse that David writes in Psalms, or this chapter David writes in Psalms. It says, David wrote these words of this song when his God delivered him from the hands of all his enemies and from the hands of Saul. David, in this passage, and if you read it all, it's an awesome psalm, but in the middle of this psalm, he writes these words where people have been chasing him all over the place. David had been living in caves. He knew he was anointed to be king. He had loads of people from all sorts that he says were in debt and distress and everywhere, living in this cave of Adullam. He's getting chased all over different towns, all these places. Saul wanted him dead. And in that moment, he said, God has brought me to a spacious place. He's rescued me because he delights in me. So this morning, all of my organizations are called Spacious Place Enterprises, because my heart is for me to live in my spacious place and you to live in your spacious place. And not just that, but to create an environment of church and life and community and work and business where we can take anybody from the people in society that no one wants to know to the greatest CEOs of the biggest businesses in the world or anywhere, anything in between. Because the only place you can live in a spacious place is slap bang in the middle of a relationship with God. So how do we fancy getting to your spacious place this morning? That's what we're going to talk about. I hope that's okay. And we're going to look at this little passage, and there's going to be a few things that we're going to bring out of this passage this morning. So the first thing is, in order to get to our spacious place and help other people get to their spacious place, there's this moment where we need to understand that God does the bringing. He brought. That's what David says. God brought. When we first got married, this was kind of the deal. So there was every opportunity for me and go look for suits and choose the flowers and do the venue and go and pick wedding dresses. I don't think I meant to do that bit. But anyway, there was this all kind of coming. We got married 13 years ago, and all of this is coming at me, and I'm thinking I'm going to have to do the right thing. Everything in me don't really want to pick any flowers or choose what the food is. I'm just more than happy with anything. And it sounded a bit rubbish, didn't it, that? Because as a new husband, you need to kind of get involved with this. And then my wife came up with the best idea ever. She said, well, I've got my house and you're living at home, so why don't we buy a new house? So we're 12 weeks away from getting married. And when we get married, we can move into this house together and it'd be brilliant. And your job, Ian, is to do the house and I'll sort all the wedding. And I'm like, oh, praise Jesus. Happy days. No flowers, no going round venues. All I get to do is build stuff. Happy days. So the house that she chose was absolutely fantastic. Unfortunately, it only had like no floors. So in 12 weeks, it was quite a task. So she wasn't letting me off lightly. But I'm getting all of this thing done and everything done. And obviously, I've just been living at home. I'm kind of 24. I've got my own man cave in my mum and dad's house, big telly, surround sound, all of that. So the most important thing of any house refurbishment is to get the wiring in for the AV, isn't it? Everybody knows you need to get the big telly on the wall before you even put the bathroom in. That's how it works, right? So I'm thinking, because she likes to get involved and she's had a good day choosing the flowers and all of that. And she had mentioned a little bit about not being great with small spaces, but I kind of half forgot that. So I said, love, see, like, I'm reasonably big and you're a bit smaller than me. How about you fancy running that cable under the floor? Because we need to kind of get... We need to get that speaker cable from that corner and I'll thread it down so you can see it. And then you bring it all under the floor and then I'll get it off you from the other side. How's that sound? And obviously, because she's a doting want-to-be wife, she goes, oh, yeah, yeah, that'll be fine. Anyway, so I get her under the floor. Not too much hassle there. That was all right. She seemed pretty good. Give her the wire. Great. And she went right to the corner of the room under the floor as I was on top of it and she threaded it up. And I'm thinking, oh, this is going well. And then all of a sudden she realised where she was. So now I don't think it helped with the father-in-law saying there might be rats under there. So that not helpful, Alan. Thank you. But shut up. So anyway, so I fixed this up and she's under the floor. She absolutely froze. Absolutely froze. Just realised that she didn't like confined spaces. She didn't really see where, because there was no electric on, because we haven't got that bit. Telly's first, obviously. It's dark. She didn't know where to go. There's beams that she has to duck under and round and all of this. And she just froze. And in this moment, she was totally and utterly crying, felt restricted. I'm thinking, oh no, this has not gone how I thought it was going to go. And in life, sometimes we get to these points where we find, because of circumstances and all sorts of other things, we are totally and utterly restricted. And Joe is under the floorboards. Which is never a good place to put your wife. And the guys that are going to get married soon, do the wiring yourselves, guys, please, because it doesn't help. And she's totally restricted and she doesn't know what to do. And I had to get under these floorboards and I had to go and get her and crawl out with her and bring her out to what was her spacious place at that particular moment. And we got her up and out and there. And in that moment, I just thought of that story as I'm thinking of this. And there's this moment of, we sometimes feel we're restricted. And whatever those restrictions of life, they could be health, it could be financially, it could be a place where you just don't know what to do, that the world and the dog speak to you about ministry and calling and you're going, I have no clue what that looks like in my life. I know so many young people who get so wound up about what's me calling. I'm just like, chill out, you'll be right. God knows what it is. You don't even worry about it too much, do you? All of these things that we put our own restrictions on us and other people put restrictions on us. Sometimes insecurity is a restriction. Sometimes anxiety and depression is a restriction. And what it does is there's this cycle of just getting more and more restricted. Why am I like this? What does it look like? How does it work? And we try harder and harder and harder to get ourselves out of this place of restriction. But what we are needing to realize, it's not our job to bring ourselves out. He brought me out. And am I saying that God doesn't get other people around you and in your world to help you? No, absolutely not. God always uses relationships and people close to you and great church and great family to help you get out of these restricted places. But ultimately, God is the man that brings you out of restriction. And so often in those places of restriction, you can listen to all sorts of different advice. And the nature of advice is everybody's got their own way of doing it. But what we know when we listen to God's advice as he starts to bring us out and bring us into these spacious places of all the things that he's called us to do, when we listen to God and we know it's God and we get around people that are helping us listen to God, not necessarily telling us what he's saying, that we get to this place where God brings us out. God designed us to live in a spacious place, not under the floorboards with no way up and no way out and in total darkness. God wants to bring us to a spacious place. Sometimes God just needs to come down the hall a little bit, as he often does. Crawl to where you are, in a corner, in the bottom of a basement, having no clue why you're there, having no clue why you said yes in the first place to your daft husband. And he'll come to wherever you are. God's bringing out. He will go to the ends of the earth to get you to where he entirely designed you to be. David had been in all sorts of trouble. Every nation on earth at that time wanted David and his people dead. That was basically it. And in this passage, he gets to this point where all his enemies are defeated, that Saul has been defeated, and he says this, God brought me out. So even when David is swinging his sword in battle, even when he's hiding in a cave, even when he's doing all of these things to escape his own death, he realized one thing that is so important to realize, that even in really, really tough circumstances, even when you think everything is going wrong, even in the midst of your biggest battles, God's intention is to bring you out. And not just bring you out to anywhere, bring you out to your spacious place. Number two, God creates. I absolutely adore creative people. I've just listened to an autobiography by a guy called Elon Musk. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of him, but he was the dude, he's got some pretty bonkers ideas, to be fair to him. But he's the guy who invented the Tesla car, this electric car. My pals just bought one, and he took me out, and we got talking, so he was meant to take me out for a posh lunch, but we ended up at McDonald's drive-thru. I'm not quite sure how that happened, actually. He was doing most of the talking as well, so I think that's how that happened. So we sat in his car, and he swipes this thing across on this posh new car that he's got, and it says there's this button called Ludicrous. And I'm going, that can't be good in a car, that's a lovely car, mate, but whatever you do, don't press that, someone's going to die. So anyway, he presses this button, because obviously, why wouldn't you if you've got a button in a car called Ludicrous? And we set off from these traffic lights, and it went from 0 to 60 in 2.6 seconds. Now, I've never been a fan of roller coasters. And I asked him to stop and let me out because it nearly made me sick. But this incredible car, but this bloke called Elon Musk designed this car, and he's got this bonkers idea of that there is actually a chance that we could live on Mars at some point in time, and he's developing all the technology to get us there. I'm pretty sure I won't be around when the time comes, so I'm not worrying about that too much. But this guy, what is incredible when you listen to his story, and I listen to audio books all the time because it's just good for me to take it in and I can imagine things while I'm listening. And I hate reading, basically. That's how that works. But don't tell anyone that. So I'm listening to this story, and this guy is seriously talking about, yeah, we can get people to Mars. We can make Mars inhabitable. We can get people there. It might take 500 years for them to get there. So it's really one-way tickets that we need and all of these sorts of things. And I'm listening to this bloke who's an absolute creative genius. And he really, he's not just believing it, he's putting millions and millions and millions and millions of pounds into making this technology happen. He's buying buildings all over the world to build his battery solutions and all of this clever stuff that runs his cars and runs his trains and runs his space rockets and all of this. And you're listening to him and going, he's absolutely bonkers. And then there's a load of investors that invest multi-billions of pounds in him. And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if I could be that bonkers. But there's something about creative people who think of a totally and utterly creative idea and then create creative solutions to make that idea happen. Yeah? And we just have this theology sometimes as Christians and people and non-Christians that think about God, is that what happened is God created us all and then he just kind of let us find out our own way. So he gave us all these brilliant gifts and talents and character and creativity and all of this wonderful stuff. And then he just basically said, I've given you all of that. Now you just have to navigate the world. And hopefully you'll bump into a couple of people that might get you there. And there might be a couple of other people that might make that happen for you and whatever else. Because what happens if you're not such a creative person and you're not as bonkers as Elon Musk? This is what the average kind of person does. We think of what we know and add a little bit to it, and then we try to get to that thing that we know that we've added a little bit of to by doing the things that we know. So what you end up is a little bit better than what you knew. That's how it works. And if you look back over your life, I guarantee most of us have done that at some point. Is that we don't want to go and inhabit Mars. That's a bit bonkers. But we might want a 4-bed house rather than a 3-bed. So we can manage that. Let's kind of do all the same things but a little bit more and get there. God doesn't do that. That's not how God does. God looked at you. He made you fearfully and wonderfully. He put in you. In fact, he imagined this thing first. He looked at you and he went, "Oh, David, what a legend. I'm going to give him all the gifts that I'm going to give him. He's going to be absolutely brilliant. I'm going to put everything in him. I'm going to give him all his personality. I'm going to give him those magic fingers to play the guitar. I'm going to give him his character. I'm going to give him this. I'm going to give him that. I'm going to put all of that in him." And he built David based on the purpose that he had for him. And he does it for each one of us. It's not generic, this. This is not this one-off, oh yeah, we'll make everybody unique and then we'll get them all in to this generic process that helps everyone get out the other side. Nonsense. God creates a spacious place that is uniquely designed for you. And when he created you and knitted together in your mother's womb, he put all the perfect, unique character traits, little idiosyncrasies, all the things that people say, that really winds me up. That's in you for a purpose. Because that little bit that winds you up will wind someone up one day so much that they'll go, right, I'm going to give you a chance. You're going to get an opportunity to do that. And then God's absolute genius is, he then puts all of that, guess where he puts it all? In his local church. Because he knows that your best bits, and when you come out and all of this great stuff that comes out of you, when it rubs against other people that are in that process and looking for their spacious place and looking to help other people find their spacious place, all of a sudden all of these things come together and it's absolutely incredible because all of a sudden everyone's finding a spacious place. And then you create an environment in a coffee shop like Outdoors where everybody, you don't even need to go and have a look for people. Because everyone's looking at you going, wow, I've seen that couple, I've seen that family go through all sorts of different things. And they realize something that I've never had, which is they've always got a smile on their face. It's like water off a duck's back. They walk through it with faith and faithfulness and every challenge, even the hardest of challenges, there's just something in them that looks so great. Because when you understand that God has created you for something so unique, you can walk in to any situation knowing God has given you through the Holy Spirit every answer to every question, wherever you go, whenever you go there. And then he puts you in this amazing thing called local church, which is the hope of the world, to knock all the rough edges off, to help you walk your way through it, to stand in all of those challenges. And great churches with great leaders and great environments point the Holy Spirit right at you and go, you listen to what he's got to say to get into your spacious place. That's what your conference tells me that's going to do. So at this place, I know that the heart of your leaders, the heart of you guys in this place is to help people get out of them what God has created them in. But let's not think we're having a little bit of better than what we've already had. This is a wide, open, incredible, fully functioning, brilliant, bonkers, spacious place. And the only way we get there is standing in what we've been created to be, which is everything God's put in us. Back yourself. You need, as Christians, to back yourself in everything God has given you. Are you ready? Number three, to get to our spacious place, we have to understand God rescues. God brought me out to a spacious place. He rescued me because he delights in me. I am excellent at Hebrew, as you can imagine. Coming from Burnley, we used to do a lot of Hebrew in our schools. So anyway, Yesha, which is basically the Hebrew word for rescues, means one thing: salvation. How brilliant is that? God's rescue is much more than getting you out of a bit of a hole. God's rescue is all singing, all dancing, total and utter, no holds barred salvation. That's how it works. So I used to be, when I finished school at 16, obviously, because I'm not like reading, mentioned that earlier, I had to get a job. That's kind of how it rocked out for me. Kind of wanted one anyway, because I used to like building things rather than writing things down. So I ended up being by more luck than judgment, really, being an aerospace engineer. And one of my best bits of being an aerospace engineer, we used to build thrust reversers. So when you stop on a runway and you hear that big go, halfway down the runway, that was my bit. And I once went into a cockpit of an aeroplane back in the days where you could do that. And we were flying on this plane. I was about 18. And these two pilots are flying along. This is just an aside. And I said, oh, I built the brakes on this. And they both went, looked at this spotty kind of 18-year-old, and the panic in the face was tangible. But I enjoyed it, so that's good. So what we used to do, one of my favourite jobs in thrust reverser making world, was sometimes planes got hit by lightning. Don't worry about it, they're kind of designed to do it and it's all good. And every so often we used to get a thrust reverser back in that had been hit by lightning and it looked absolutely rubbish, right? So it was burnt all over, all the rivets, basically the lightning hit one rivet and it popped it all the way around, so nothing was holding to anything else. Everything was burnt out inside. And what we got the pleasure of doing was ripping all of this stuff out and then putting it all back on this thrust reverser, brand new, riving it all together, all the new bits that went on, all the new carbon fiber panels and all of this sort of stuff. And I've got this picture when I'm just talking about this, he rescues, this whole salvation piece. Is sometimes we kind of see this whole thing with God's grace and his salvation as a one-hit wonder. You put your hand up, yeah, go. But God's rescue and God's salvation is day in, day out, glory to glory, okay? And in this moment of transforming this thrust reverser back to being working, what we had to do is, if that thrust reverser went into a plane 2 years ago, we upgraded it to what all the modern specs that was right here, right now. So all the upgrades that our models have had over 2 years, all the fancier rivets, all the better carbon fiber panels, all the different thrust reverser stuff that went in there, all the hydraulics, everything that we built within this thrust reverser, we upgraded it all. And this is a great picture of God's salvation and God's grace and God's love and God's mercy. Because sometimes, a couple of years ago, we can spiritually feel like we've been hit by lightning. We're walking around looking like we've just come out of an old fireplace. There's soot everywhere. Some of our rivets have popped out. Some of our jeans are ripped. Oh no, that's just how you wear them these days. All of these sorts of things. And we just spiritually, and we might have a great smile on our face, but spiritually we feel like we've been hit by lightning. Spiritually, we're in this place where everything just doesn't seem to be going right. We signed up for this salvation, this grace thing, this being rescued thing by God, but why is it all not happening for me? And every Christian, everywhere, feels like that. Sometimes. But because God's committed to bringing us out, in the process of bringing us out of those moments, which often do build character, and often do build perseverance, and perseverance builds all the good stuff as we read in James chapter 1 and 2. But we get to this moment where actually God's not just getting us back to what we were when we first got hit by lightning. Yeah? God's adding some upgrades. Because what this aeroplane needs to do moving forward is stop quicker, move faster, be stronger, be better. So next time it gets hit by lightning, it just bounces off. Boom. And sometimes spiritually, that's what God does. And we find ourselves in these places where we desperately need rescuing. And sometimes, unless we realize this pretty quickly, these situations could get really, really bad because what we try and do is rescue ourselves. Your job is not to rescue yourself. God's job is to rescue you. His job is salvation. The only guy that can offer salvation is God. Yeah? And so often we try and rescue ourselves out of these lightning strikes, out of these times in life where all the pressure's on and everything's up against us and we're feeling under the cosh. And in this moment, we just have to realize that, whoa, I might have put my hand up in a service 2 years ago. Ever since then, I've just been getting bombarded by lightning. We just have to put our hands up again and say, God, listen, I signed up for you being everything to me. And it don't feel a bit like that at the moment. It feels like I'm just getting bombarded. God, I need rescuing. And I don't know how to do it by myself. So put some great people around me. Help me understand. Holy Spirit, just move in power in my life so I can understand that I'm not just getting back to what I looked like before I got hit by lightning, but I'm getting all the upgrades. I'm getting every pearl out of every bit of a situation. So when I move forward, whatever comes at me, whatever it looks like, that salvation in me, that grace that has covered me, that environment that you've put me in, which is that brilliantness of all of your rescue package, that I can move forward into everything I've got and I can be totally and utterly brand new with upgrades. He rescues. And do you know why he rescues? He rescues us to get us to a place where we are fit for purpose and more than fit for purpose to walk in to this incredible, spacious place that he's designed for us. So we're going to land with this. The final point, which is the bit I absolutely love, and what every part of all of my organization is based on. If you get this revelation this morning, your entire life will change. God delights in you. Can you, in those two verses, it's one verse, two lines. These are the key bits that David realized. He, i.e. God, delights in me. How many times can you fit me into two lines? David did it three times. Now, some people think, oh, come on, David, have a break. If you're putting God in there three times, surely you're only going to go in two. Because that's how we think. But David realized that God was all about delighting in him. How awesome is that? That the creator of the heavens and the earth, absolutely, no questions asked, 100,000%, which you can't have, as my son often tells me, delights in you. Wherever you are, in your head, in your heart, in your circumstances, in your finances, wherever you are, sat in your seat this morning, if you take nothing else away from what I've said, take this away and dwell on it for the rest of the week. God absolutely delights in you. Absolutely, no questions asked. See, when we realize that God delights in us, there's this little song by McFly that goes around in your head. It's all about you. It's all about you. I missed the baby out because it's obviously we're in church and I'm allowed to say songs about babies. Anyway. So get this song going around in your head all week long. Get McFly happening that it is all about you. And not many people preach. It's not a good last point, this. It's terrible, isn't it? Because it's all about God. And it absolutely is all about God, but God made it all about you. See, God could do everything that he wants to do, change the world, transform it, do everything without you. No problem at all. Good, eh? Do you know what he does? delights in you so much, he lets you join in. How epic is that? He created everything, his whole plan for saving the world, the local church, based around us Muppets. Now, you would have thought the creator of the heavens and earth may have had a better plan. Well, that's the one he came up with, so I'm trusting him, that he delights in you so much that he lets us get involved in his incredible plan, his incredible purpose, his incredible mission to transform stuff. So when Ed thinks about, oh, Kathy would be nice, we can do a couple of services and we can move people around and people don't have to rush off and everyone's not running around a car park. Do you know who put that there? God. Do you know who has to make it happen? Ed. Because you need to get together with your leaders and you need to talk everyone through it and say, this is a great idea and it's all about how we give in and it's all about time and energy and effort and who's going to run it and who's going to do things about it. And then God is so blinking brilliant that then he starts showing people pictures about it, about what it's all about, just so we don't forget that it's not just nice coffee, because every church leader loves a nice coffee. And it's not just about nice coffee, it's about harvest. It's about people. It's about changing the world. It's about God delighting in you so you can delight in other people. It's not just about coffee, although great coffee is good. Because if someone has a great coffee, they feel a little bit delighted in. Happy days. It all works, doesn't it? But this is the best bit, when we can land in a world of God delighting in us. And I'm not saying that makes life any easier sometimes. Listen, we're going to have challenges. That's life. We've got to get used to that and get used to being delighted in anyway. But what happens when we're delighted in is you aren't fussed about what other people think or say about you. Because if you know God delights in you, if someone says something to you that you don't like, well, who are you? God delights in me. All the best. You aren't as easily offended or discouraged. God delights in me. It's fine. Water off a duck's back. Hey, listen, nobody likes being told something nasty about them, do they? But if God delights in you, it's a lot easier to take, because you can walk out of that place and realise that, yeah, God absolutely loves me. You start thinking that if God loves and delights in me that much, that maybe I can change the world, or at least do my bit for Preston. Yeah? What about if the creator of the heaven and earth has got me as part of his plan, and the only bit of that plan that he created was me, and it can't happen without me? Wow. Whoa. Maybe I could change the world. Listen, God hasn't just got this little planner working in a corner shop. No offense if anybody works in a corner shop, they're very useful places. But God is talking about your entire, everything about you. Your whole spiritual, physical, practical, every part of your being was created to transform the world. And the other thing that happens is you don't need center stage anymore. When God's got his spotlight of delight in your world, on you, center stage all of the time, you don't care if someone else has been successful, do you? You don't care if someone's a better guitarist than you. I could have been there looking at David all this morning going, he's a better guitarist than me. Like Dastardly and Muttley. Some of you won't remember that, but soz. But that's what happens. You see it so often in churches, don't you? That some young kid comes along, and because they're in the bedroom all night, every night playing the guitar, and you've got a full-time job, they come along and they're world beaters, and you're going like this, playing the guitar, thinking, flipping, hey, if only I didn't have a job and a wife and three kids, I'd be that good. Well, get over it. God delights in you. The spotlight's on your life. It might just be a little opening for you to go and crack on with what you were born to do and stop messing around with guitar. Maybe. Take the hint. And support this little world beater. Give him all your gear. Buy him some new pedals. Whoa, plenty of pedals. So we have to give him his pedals if he comes. Unlucky. Give him the Gretsch. But let's encourage people. Oh, we've touched a nerve there. He's not delighting that much in that one. The Gretsch is always staying at his house anyway. But there's this moment, isn't there? Where if you know the spotlight of delight from God is on you, you don't care if someone comes around better. You don't care if someone comes around who has this just incredible gift that can lead people and everybody follows. Derek's like that. People can spend the rest of their lives trying to lead people. Derek will walk into a room, Trump, and everyone will follow him out. Because it's an amazing gift. But he's just anointed. It is. He is absolutely and utterly anointed to lead people. There is something in Derek's DNA that people just love him. I've seen him in congregations. I went to Chicago with him. He preached. He insulted every possible person in America, in the room, anywhere. And everyone's standing in ovation at the end. And I'm thinking, if I did that, they would have been throwing stones at me. But find what your gifts are. And realise that God delights in you. So there's no hardship or no harm in somebody just going, brilliant. And when we find that in our worlds, we get this bit that's in 1 Corinthians 12:12, one body, many parts. And if the ear tries to be a hand and all of that, you'll have heard that verse before, but God has put us all in this place. He's put us all in local church and local family that he's creation to transform the world. And if all of us in that place are heading towards our spacious place, we create this incredible environment of church where people come in and they don't see any cliques, they don't see any gangs, they don't see any unwelcomeness, they don't see any insecurities, they don't see any of all of that. They just see a place where they can absolutely thrive. And when they see a place they can absolutely thrive, they then ask, why on earth is this place so different to where? Why is this place different to work where everyone's trying to jump on my head to get to the next career move? Why is it different to the school gate where everyone's getting dressed up to come and pick the kids up? What's that all about? Because they want to look better than the next mum, or they want to look like they've got it more together. We need to get to the place where we're all living in our spacious place. And when we get to that place, one of the greatest joys is helping other people find theirs. And it's not going to compromise your spacious place. It's not going to compromise your uniqueness. It's not going to compromise anything that God's put in you. It's just going to absolutely transform people's lives.